Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the 5 at 5 with Grant and Danny. The top 5 stories of the day.
A reminder for those of you who were not with us earlier in the show, Jason Wright, the team president of the Washington football team, will be with us tomorrow at 4:25. So make sure you're listening at that time. And with that, welcome back, Grant and Danny. On 106.7 The Fan, it is time for the 5 at 5. Let's start with item number 1. As we go through some of the stories we care the most about, let's get to the Nationals, who it appears have set their lineup. They could still add a bat, but with Josh Bell brought in at first base and Kyle Schwarber added to start in left field, looks like they could be done spending.
And Schwarber sends one high and deep, way back, and this ball is long gone.
Mercy.
What in the world?
Schwarber's got pop now. October 13th, 2015, that home run in the playoffs against Washington. Schwarber has hit as many as 38 home runs in a season. The Nats need him to mash this year, Danny. They're hoping Josh Bell can return to form from pre-2020, he had a disastrous year during this COVID campaign. Schwarber himself hit 188. He, too, very much down offensively. But if they can get both of those guys to return to when they were at their apex, they added a ton of pop. They added some run production and some support for Juan Soto in the middle of this lineup. They need Trey Turner to hit like an MVP, batting leadoff, move Soto up, have Schwarber and Bell in the middle with Starlin Castro. They feel like their lineup's a lot better than it was last year.
Yeah, it certainly got pop, right? When you look at Bell and you look at Kyle Schwarber, who you mentioned, a couple 38 homer guys from just over a season ago. To me, you know, if you get an 871 OPS and, you know, north of 34, 35 homers from Kyle Schwarber, it's a win. But his high watermark has been that 250 season, still struck out at his highest rate that year. And some of the, you know, ancillary metrics as you go down the line say that probably was the high watermark. He'll probably settle into his career norms of, you know, striking out once every 3.5 at-bats and hitting in the 225, 230 range. And he's not great defensively. I would have loved a higher contact guy to go in the middle of that order, whether it was a Brantley or somebody else. But they didn't want to go the years. They didn't want to go the huge dollars. And I think there's a move coming via free agency or trade or otherwise for another starting pitcher. That's where they've spent more traditionally. They think they can get by with Starlin Castro, with Kyle Schwarber, and hoping for another renaissance, sort of a 2.0 version of Josh Bell. He was an all-star a couple seasons ago when he broke out in the first half and pretty much hasn't really hit that well since then. They're hoping Kevin Long gets his hands on him, and next thing you know, he could be that guy that was just a masher in the middle of the order for Pittsburgh.
That's a big key, by the way, is Kevin Long as a hitting instructor. Now, Josh Bell's a switch hitter, which really helps, but they could be pretty left-handed
in the middle of
this lineup now. Schwarber, a left-handed bat, obviously Juan Soto as well. Bell can turn around and bat righty if you need him to. A couple of names that are still very important to this offense, though. We talked about Turner at the top. If he plays like he did this past season when he was a candidate for the Most Valuable Player Award, and he's a star, which is what he was, then this is a much, much better team, and they got a lot less to worry about. You know what you're going to get out of Juan Soto, who's going to hit over 300 with power and be one of the best players in the game. And Schwarber and Bell, the new additions, have to be big. The other group, though, in that lineup, toward the bottom, Starlin Castro got hurt early last year. I'm not nearly as high on him as the organization is. I didn't love that signing. They seem to think he could carry over the second half of what was his 2019 at the time when he hit a lot of home runs. They need him to do that. They need him to be better than he was, frankly, early last season. the catching spot where you had Gomes and Suzuki splitting time. You've got Yan Gomes, but there's not really an answer for that timeshare yet. So I think on the cheap, perhaps, you've got to go find a veteran to spell him like Suzuki did. And then the key to this whole thing could be Victor Robles. There was a time when Robles was a top five prospect in all of baseball. He has become, to this point, a disappointment after taking a step back last year. He hit under 250. He didn't even have an idea at times at the plate. He looked lost, and it was the worst that we've seen him. They have to get more out of him. He's a game changer. Now, if he clicks as the answer in center versus if they're looking for a center fielder at the end of this year, it's very, very, very big difference for this organization's window for the next few years.
It changes everything, right? And listen, you don't give up on players like this, but you're sort of looking at your watch going, hey, our window's now. When are you going to do it? And now is the time for him to certainly do it. I didn't like him gaining muscle. I didn't like him gaining weight last year. That wasn't good both for offense and it seems for defense. I don't care if he's a 30-homer guy. I need him to be that 30-stolen base guy, with sort of occasional gap-to-gap power that sometimes it carries out. You hit 20 homers, you could steal 35, 40 bags. That's the Victor Robles they need, that dynamic, just ball hawk in center field, not the guy that tried to juice up and mash a little bit last year. And you're 100% right. You said it very well. He looked lost at the plate for the entirety of this makeshift season.
Still need a starting pitcher. You mentioned you got a couple ways to get one. But behind Scherzer, Corbin, and Strasburg right now, if the season started, it'd probably be Fetty, Ross, and Voth vying for those two spots. We've been there before. That's not a great place to be. Next in our 5 at 5 tomorrow night, they will drop the puck on a brand new season for the Capitals against the Buffalo Sabres. The NHL actually gets started tonight. Peter Laviolette is your new bench boss.
Some of the top players in the game, and I think also Washington, the fact that they've been an elite team, one of the top-tier teams in the league now for the past half dozen years, are constantly finding a way to win in the regular season, get into the playoffs, Stanley Cup champion. And so there's a lot of real positive things about Washington, the fan base and the building and how loud it can get in there, and the city itself, getting back to the East Coast for me. I'm an East Coast kid, and just a great organization from ownership down. And
Laviolette telling Mike Vogel of the Caps website why that was the team he wanted to join when he started looking around at some of the coaching vacancies this offseason. You know, big adjustments for the Capitals to keep an eye on. No Braden Holtby means Ilya Samsonov in the net has got to step forward and has to carry them between the pipes. And then if you look at their defensive pairs, adding Zdeno Chara late is going to help them a lot on the penalty kill. Even though he's lost foot speed and some skating propensity, he's still big and long and has reach. He blocked over 100 shots last year, and he was top five in the NHL in minutes on the PK per game. But the rest of those defensive pairs have to be sorted out. The one good thing they have going for themselves is they spent some money on Justin Schultz, who's a top four defenseman who comes over from Pittsburgh.
The three things that I think Laviolette is tasked with, right? Number one, you just touched on, fix the defensive pairings. Just make it not the worst. I think you got to make them a bit better by having everyone be a bit more defensively accountable maybe than they were under Todd Reardon. I think that's something. Ford's pinching back and everybody playing their part a little bit more just to help those defensive pairings out a little bit. Don't always sort of leak for the breakout and everything else. Don't have to make the perfect pass. Just get it out of the zone more often. That's number one. Number two, good luck at goalie, man. I mean, this organization deserves a lot of credit for how they've developed goalies over the years. They got a great track record there. Ooh, that would scare the hell out of me as a head coach with not much experience between the pipes. And number three, I harp on this all the time. If you make Evgeny Kuznetsov give a damn on a pretty consistent basis, this is a championship team. I don't mean that. I mean, I hate to simplify it like that, but that guy is so good. When he's right, you see what happens. When he's not, you sort of miss him for games and weeks at a time. If he unlocks that potential on a consistent basis, this team could wreck shop.
He's the leader in the category of need more out of you, dude, for this team. I would put Jake Ferrana after the second half of last year and the bubble play, whatever that was, from him was not good enough. He's in that conversation. I feel like known commodities include Tom Wilson, TJ Oshie, Ovechkin, and probably even Lars Eller as far as the fabric of this team. So you need the bounce back from Kuzi, from Ferrana. And you're curious to see Backstrom, if he can elevate his game again. Got the big contract deservedly as a lifetime achievement type award. But he's got hockey left, and you want to see him set some of those guys up. Now, I'll be curious to see what they do with that top pair. Orlov and Carlson have not always fared great together. I kind of like the idea of Dylan and Carlson more, but Laviolette will be sorting those things out as they go into the first few weeks of the season. Number three on our top five at five, the Wizards were supposed to be playing tonight. That will not be happening. Their game got postponed because of COVID. This was Scott Brooks yesterday.
I mean, we knew throughout the league it's happening. We knew that there was always going to be a possibility that it might happen with us. We have, through NBA protocol, we have a couple of players in the safety protocol. But we canceled practice just so we can be smart about it. We don't know until, you know, the next today or tomorrow what that all means. And then we're just going by the NBA's safety and protocol rules. And until we know more, that's all we know right now. We just canceled practice.
Reportedly, Rui Hachimura and Mo Wagner, the two Wizards who have tested positive for the coronavirus, so they'll be without them for several days. The NBA is just fighting it right now, and there's not much you can really do. We saw this with the NFL other than grin and bear it. You know, you just kind of push through. You halt games when you have to. You halt practices as need be. They have tightened their protocols. Among the things they're now asking, everyone's got to be masked when they're not on the floor, aside from a seat you can sit in if you're still winded when you come off of the court. They're not allowing any guests on the road into the team hotel, into your room. If you've got people coming to your house to help you during the season with any kind of business endeavors or anything, you know, to help treat your body, those people have to be tested multiple times a week. So I give the league credit. They're doing everything they can, but when you're not in a bubble, there's just no avoiding this. This is inevitable.
Two things come to mind. One, again, NFL, amazing job. Dealing with five times the amount of people.
True.
Basically, right? When you add in coaches and strength and training staff and everyone else and roster sizes, practice squads, they had way less, it seems like, just per day or per week, whatever you want to call it, than the NBA has had to this point. And this is with the backdrop of the NBA doing an amazing thing that they put together and pulled it off in their own bubble. Not just a couple months ago, it seems like, when we were talking about that and complimenting them. I'm not blaming anybody. I understand it's probably too much to ask to go 8-9 months or however long it would be to, you know, bubble time when it comes to it. But they're getting hit hard right now, as you kind of said. And they're juggling things. It's early in the season, so they can get away with it. But God forbid we're still doing this in you know, March and April.
Number four on the top five, we are 3 days away from the start of the divisional round in the NFL playoffs. In game two on Saturday, the Ravens and the Bills loved this cut from Lamar Jackson. He was asked if he's ever played in the snow before. Here's what he had to say.
Experience. I never got to play in the snow, except my first time seeing snow in Louisville. But we had a snowball fight, so that's totally different from playing in it. But, yeah, that definitely would be my first time playing football in the snow Saturday. If it does, hopefully it don't.
He said hopefully it doesn't and laughed. But before that, my favorite thing in the world is, hey, have you ever played in the snow, Lamar? And he quite literally answered the question by saying, well, one time we had a snowball fight.
Yeah.
Slightly different than playing in a snow game. He
is that
sounds
the same?
Like he would rather not play in the snow. And I think most quarterbacks would tell you, I don't want to play in the snow. But you know, coming from Wyoming, having played over a few seasons now in Buffalo, Josh Allen is well equipped. This Baltimore team's game is snowproof. It's bad weatherproof, you would think. They can run the ball, rain, sleet, snow, what have you. They obviously had a terrible game against the Patriots in a driving rain earlier this year. But I just thought that answer was great. I really find Lamar Jackson to be not only personable, but kind of just humble and down to earth and seems to have fun in those press conferences. For a superstar, he doesn't seem to take himself that seriously. I really like that about him.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, too, is obviously because Josh Allen's done this before, you would say, okay, he's got the advantage, he knows what it feels like. But the way the Ravens are designed, I would love a snow game if I'm Baltimore. You know, I ground the pound. You want to have an aerial attack? You want to do air raid in the snow? Yep. In a driving blizzard? By all means, we'll be going Gus downhill, smacking you in the mouth with Dobbins and Jackson and Edwards with a couple little flips to a tight end. I know our 300-pound fullback layered out of the backfield. By all means, bring on the snow. I know he hasn't done it, but if I'm Baltimore, I'm sitting there praying for snow.
You would think that their team is better equipped based on style of play than Buffalo's. But there's something to be said for it. It can be a mental thing for a quarterback. Yeah. And if you've just never done it before, how are you possibly preparing for it? And I'm quite sure having played at Wyoming and Buffalo, that you know, Josh Allen has as well. Now, I'll do my impression of our guy Doug Kammerer, if that's okay.
Okay, I'll picture you really handsome, great hair. Ready? Go.
I'm not going to be quite as good looking as him, and I'll wear my shirt because I have to, although he shouldn't wear a shirt because he doesn't
Ever.
Have to.
Ever.
But Saturday, they're not calling for snow as of right now. That has changed in Buffalo. Looks like right around 35 degrees, and it could be windy. So it's going to be nasty. It's going to be prototypical playoff game in the Northeast kind of weather, but it is not supposed to snow or be inclement or wet, it doesn't look like. So as we get closer, I guess we can update that. But I just thought that was funny. And he said, yeah, hopefully it doesn't snow. And speaking of quarterbacks and interesting news, Aaron Rodgers has been asked, according to Aaron Rodgers, pretty good source, to be one of the guest hosts on Jeopardy, his favorite TV show. He was actually a contestant on Jeopardy years ago. This was Rodgers.
One of my idols growing up was Alex Trebek. You know, and being able to be on Jeopardy years ago, even though my wardrobe outfit wasn't the greatest choice.
No, it doesn't matter. Everybody's dress is very bad on that show.
They're doing some guest hosting spots, and it's going to be released here pretty soon, but I have the opportunity to do one of those.
Let's go! Did you watch Ken last night?
No, I didn't see Ken last night. I was watching some film and checked in on the college football championship as well for a little bit. But I'm excited about that opportunity with Jeopardy.
It was Rodgers with the Pat McAfee show. You hear McAfee getting pumped up for him.
That's
there.
Fun.
He's a different dude. I don't know how else to describe Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we could now get into what that means. But I don't know how many NFL quarterbacks watch Jeopardy every single night and grew up idolizing Alex Trebek. He did. He's a strange cat in some ways. And sometimes, you know, doesn't always get along with all his teammates and rubs people the wrong way. And he can be, it seems like, come off as condescending or what have you sometimes. But there are certain people who are, like, brilliant and they don't always relate well to everyone. And I don't know, maybe he's one of those guys.
I always think of this when my dad used to tell me about when Ted Williams was the manager of the Senators, and he just couldn't stand it when everybody couldn't hit like him. You know, like the greatest hitter ever to live, the greatest hitter ever to walk the planet would just get so mad that these regular old dumb big leaguers couldn't, you know, just drill a sinker in the dirt 110 miles an hour into the gap in left center field. You know, like he got so angry that they couldn't do it. I can understand Rodgers being frustrated sometimes, right? Where it's like, I'm so good at this. How are you guys not on my level? Alan Lazard, Marquez Valdez, Scantling Dez. I mean, come on, man. So, yeah, he's marched to the beat of his own drum a couple times and butted heads with some people. He's a strong personality. The guy thinks he's great, and he's right. So, but you're right. I think generally he's wired a bit differently than the rank and file.
One of the best to ever do it. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan with you until 6:30 tonight. Next, let's get into the Washington football free agency scenario. It looks like they're in great shape going into the offseason as far as how few players they've got to retain. We'll get into that next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Cookie Duck. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On 106.7 The Fan and Tom and Thom Productions behind the scenes. Happy to have you with us. I was looking just the other day after Washington got eliminated, Danny, at their offseason to-do list, and I looked at pending free agents. Generally, I do this earlier in the year, but we've been busy. I thought maybe they'd make the playoffs. Sure enough, they did. We've been doing some other things, so I got around to it, and I said, well, let me just look up who is about to leave the team in unrestricted free agency. And it's a shockingly unproblematic list, to be completely honest with you. I mean, there are a few guys you'd want back that you, I wouldn't even say need back, but that you'd prefer to have back. That there's, you know, a dominant player and then a couple of good players. And then there's a lot of guys that are replacement level, frankly, that are unrestricted free agents. But I thought it could be a good exercise for us to just go through the list because a lot of our listeners driving around tonight, out and about, may not know exactly who hits the market in free agency for this team this year. So
let's go on this journey together.
I'll go in the order of how much money they made last year, because that should give you an idea of market value and how much they might make in free agency this year. The number one player in free agency for Washington, and everyone knows this name, is Brandon Scherff, the starting right guard. He just became their first-team All-Pro since 1996. They have not had a position player become a first-team All-Pro since, well, before 1996. And if you're looking for, you know, an offense or defensive player, you're going back to the earliest years in the 90s for that. It's now 2021. That's not a very good thing. So that means a big payday for Scherff. You're probably going to have to pay him $17 or so million a year.
Right.
That is a tough pill to swallow for a guard. But because I have the money, because I drafted and developed him, because he did have a very good year again, I am paying him, I am keeping him. At best, he's dominant. You know, at worst, he gets hurt. But when he plays, he's really, really good. And I get that the guard position's not vital as much as maybe tackle is, Danny. But that's changing some in the eyes of a lot of people in the league, because defenses are trying to start to build from the inside out in some ways. And trying to, you know, if you got Aaron Donald as an example, people are seeing it's easier to take a game over than if you got a guy coming off the edge. So guards have become more important.
Yeah, you got a superstar in the middle, or a highly drafted guy, a first rounder, a stud, right? A Fletcher Cox going against a sixth rounder, or going against an undrafted free agent pickup, or somebody else where the emphasis hasn't been. And you're right. I mean, that's kind of where some of the pressure is mounted. This is just so tough for me because I'm such a strong believer in, you know, sort of the market efficiency and team building in the smartest possible way. I just don't think this organization is there yet where they can afford to lose a Brandon Scherff. And I've gone back and forth on this 77 different times. I've been so inconsistent. You could play a tape for me saying 10 different things, contradicting myself all over. I'm very Cowherdian on this. I think I'd ultimately hold my nose and pay that. I just hate paying a guard that much, even with everything that we said. But I'd expect him back, but at close to a fee that you're talking about.
Is that something Coward's known for, where you can find
constantly, where
he's contradicted himself a bunch?
It is his staple center. He loves it.
I'm a Cowherd guy now. I mean, I don't back everything that he says and all of his opinions. I think he's really entertaining and does a pretty good show. But I didn't know that. I know that he's got a lot of terrible takes. I'm aware of that. I mean, there are things he says that are absolutely outrageous and don't make any sense. But I didn't know he was all over the board. All right, Ryan Kerrigan is next. So, by the way, we're both bringing back Brandon Scherff at whatever it takes, correct?
Yep, 100%.
Kerrigan is next. Kerrigan made $11.5 million this past year. I'm letting Ryan Kerrigan walk because what I would offer him, say, 2 years and $12 million, I think he'll probably do better. Look, if he would sign 2-12, I would re-sign him to that money. I don't think he will. He wants to be a starter. He wants to play. He's 33, but based on how he takes care of his body, his injury history, 33 is more 29 than it is 37, if you want to go one way or the other with his age. I think he's going to find a place where he can play more. So I'll let him walk, and I'm not going to pay him like a starter because he isn't one. For me, I mean, I've got Young and Sweat taking up those spots. He could start, but it's just not going to happen here.
Right. I'd love to have him back, and I don't see it. The amount that I would offer as the Washington Football Team brass wouldn't make any sense to Ryan Kerrigan, right? Because I'm gonna say, hey, you're my rotation guy, 30% of the snaps. What do you think? If somebody gets hurt, you're my man. He'll go, thanks so much for everything. I'm gonna go either the Midwest or to a team that can win.
We're looking at the pending free agents to be for the Washington football team that they may lose, and we're just going in the order of how much they made this past year against the cap. All right, Thomas Davis made $3.5 million. One of my favorite players in the league for so many years when he wasn't here, and it was really cool that he was in Washington this year. He's lost not just a step but a couple of steps, and he's just not the same guy. He didn't play a whole lot. He's 38. By the way, he already announced he's going to retire. So that's $3.5 million that come off your books this year at linebacker. At that same position, though, $3 million to Kevin Pierre-Louis. He was okay at times, had a couple of highlight-worthy plays. Considering that he was mostly a special teamer for much of his career, I thought the 29-year-old handled himself pretty well, but I'm trying to do better at linebacker, and I think I can spend $3 million per year a little bit better.
Yeah, hard pass. That gif, if you search hard pass in Twitter, it's where that one guy's shaking his head real fast. That's what I'm doing. Hard pass on both those guys.
Ronald Darby, 27-year-old corner. I am re-signing Ronald Darby. Made $3 million in 2020. He will get a nice little raise because he played really well. The corner position is just so important to have depth at. You signed Kendall Fuller for 10 per year, and I thought he'd play a lot of nickel. That didn't happen because Jimmy Moreland became a very strong option inside. So with Moreland under contract, on the cheap, by the way, as a former seventh-round pick, Fuller having proven he could do it on the outside, down in and down out. I was wrong about that at the level that he did. You're looking for basically a co-starter, number one, number two, whatever you want to call it, a one-and-a-half, or a number two to Fuller. And I thought Darby handled himself really well. I mean, you could draft a guy early. You could sign another guy like Darby or maybe sign a guy better than Darby if you want. It's going to cost more. But I would try to keep Ronald Darby around. I would think it's going to take. I mean, I'm just spitballing a number. I could be way off. But I'm thinking, you know, at the least maybe $8 million a year, maybe closer to the $10 million you just paid Fuller. But I would keep Ronald Darby around.
The same principle that would lead me to keep Brandon Scherff, I'm going to use on Ronald Darby. In so much as I don't need to make a hole where there isn't one. I don't need to make something worse out of some principled stance. A couple of fans like to beat up on Darby because I guess he got beat deep by Amari Cooper that time or whoever the hell it was in the Cowboys game or a couple other things.
He had a couple bad games. He's far from perfect.
That guy played well for this team. I got news. You watch the rest of the league. Watch guys that are excellent still give up play after play after play after play. You can't play quarterback in this league adequately anymore. They don't allow you to. From where the rules are and what you can do, that guy played really well this year, I felt like. And he was a bargain. Now, you're not going to get as much of a bargain next year, but still, I think it's worthwhile. So who knows where that salary is going to lie. You said eight. I thought it might have been, you know, in the 6.5-7 range, but I still think it's something that it's worth paying to me because you don't need to create a problem.
I will throw out a couple numbers on Darby. So Pro Football Focus, one of the advanced numbers that they'll give you that you can pay for, and the account that I use that I got from Pro Football Focus gives me, like, the targets and catches and the reception percentage against corners. Now, I don't always buy this as a caveat, because I think they assign almost every single catch and every single receiving yard against the team to somebody. And unless I'm mistaken on how they grade this, like, there are times where you beat a zone with a zone beater and you just kind of throttle it down. and it's not necessarily Darby's fault or Curl's fault. You played between the two of them well. But anyway, just as an example, he was the most targeted player in Washington's defense. Moreland got thrown at 75 times, Fuller 74 times, John Bostic 70 times. Ronald Darby got thrown at 103 times this year. He gave up 56 catches, so 54% of the targeted throws on Darby
were completed.
Jimmy Moreland, 72%. Now he's in the nickel, you know, inside, shorter crossers and stuff like that, so it's going to be a higher percentage than on the outside the numbers. But Kendall Fuller, we think, had a great year, right? And I think he did. 74 targets, 39 catches, about 53% of the passes thrown against Fuller were caught. 54% for Darby. Just an example to give you on how he stacked up statistically. Dustin Hopkins is a free agent. We talked a lot about Dustin Hopkins and whether or not to keep him throughout the year. I mean, here's what I'm doing at Kicker. I was on record and was pretty adamant that you don't release that guy. He's got a good enough track record to stick with him for the rest of the year, and he got better as the year went on. They have already brought in Kari Vedvik on their futures rosters, whatever you know they call that list now, to compete. I would re-sign Hopkins. You know, I don't think you pay him like a top 10 kicker in the league or anything, but I'm re-signing Hopkins and planning on him being my kicker next season. And if Kari Vedvik is the competition, fine. If you want to bring in another veteran to compete with him, cool. But he's got a big leg. He has had some big seasons. And I would have a kicking competition, so to speak, where, yeah, you're the front runner, but it's not like the last few years where you weren't challenged at all.
I think the thing that may have happened this year is the cost lowered for Dustin Hopkins. I'm bringing Hopkins back. And if you want to bring other guys in, that's the life of the kicker, to compete with them. That's all well and good. I just think it may have, you know, if he'd had a banner year and was a Pro Bowler and, you know, was 95% from field goals and only missed once in the driving rain from 57 yards, it might have cost you more than you probably want to spend on a kicker. This is probably a good marriage for everybody. So I'm bringing Hopkins back 100%. To me, it's the same argument I made during the year. Too many good deposits in the bank for me to think a guy just completely lost it.
Agreed. Hopkins, by the way, made about $2.4 million this past year. Reuben Foster, pending free agent. I guess you could bring him back on a flyer. There's no one that got talked about more. I don't think they got more ink and more time on the radio that hasn't played a down here in the last 5 years than Foster. One way or the other, you know, whatever. He's either going to be someone else's reclamation project on the cheap or yours, so I would love to keep him here and give him a shot and see if he could play. But that's a minimum type deal. They traded for a tackle named David Sharp, who didn't play much this year. He's a free agent. Doesn't mean a whole lot. Ryan Anderson's a free agent. You can let him walk. He's down the depth chart at defensive end. Nick Sundberg's a free agent. You know, he hasn't had a snap that made headlines in years, so you got to do what you can to bring Sundberg back. He made $1.1 million this past year. And then it's guys like that you came in season, guys like Lamar Miller and Michael Kendricks, you know, those types of names. The only other name I would say that I'd throw out there that I'm interested in trying to keep around to see what he is would be Kyle Allen, who is a restricted free agent, and there's a list of those guys. But Kyle Allen is someone who I would absolutely try to keep as a restricted free agent and would have compete with Taylor Heinicke until I figure out what I'm doing at quarterback.
Well, sure. What about Fabian Moreau, though? Isn't he a free agent?
Fabian Moreau is a free agent. He just played so little that I kind of put him in the same category, honestly, that I do of, like, David Sharp and those other guys. I mean, I would sign him on the cheap. If he wants to stay here and make no money to be the fourth corner or the fifth corner, cool. My guess is he probably wants to go somewhere and try to play.
Makes
not a priority
me
for me. I've always liked Moreau's game. I think he could play okay on the outside. I think he's a little bit underrated. But he didn't play in a pretty hungry cornerback situation early this season. He did get on the field and struggled, and then we didn't see him again.
I feel like every time I see him, he does something, but then I don't see him for weeks at a time. Maybe that's my professional
probably
assessment.
Probably tells you something, right?
Yeah.
So with all that said, those are all the free agents we just went through. I mean, there are some names we didn't
read on
the radio. You know, guys like Robert Foster and Jeremy Sprinkle, you know, a gameless third tight end. But the question is this. Scherf, Kerrigan, Darby, what are you doing with those guys? And is there anyone else you're going to the mattress for and really standing on the table for? It's a pretty good situation as far as pending free agency goes for Washington. You're listening to G&D on the Fan.
What's up, guys? Danny Ruya here. The new year's arrived. I've told you how EMP 180 has changed my life. traditionally what happens in the new year, right? We all make our resolutions. We stay committed to them for almost 2 weeks. You go to the gym to try to get fit. I tried to do this for years. I'd go on that diet yo-yo and lose a little bit of weight. And then, you know, you have one pizza. Next thing you know, yada, 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 bunch of side fat. Gross, right? I always failed because I never knew how to eat healthy. I thought I did, but I didn't. I went to EMP 4 years ago, and the results were amazing. Kept the muscle, lost the body fat, felt better than I had since my early 20s. Do what I did and do what thousands of listeners have done. Just go to EMP180 now. Why? I'll tell you. They are like none other. You have your own nutritional coach and a personalized plan. They're not some app-based program that'll likely fail you. They're real human beings. My personal wellness coach works with me weekly. I'm calling in tomorrow morning, by the way, adjusting your program as they need it. EMP180 is the last program you will ever need. And once you reach your goal, you receive free lifetime support. EMP180 offers remote programs, in-person safe meetings, or a hybrid program. You got to give them a call. 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180 or visit emp180.com.
What a day in sports craziness in the NBA as Zion Williamson has now entered the NBA protocol for COVID. Not sure exactly if he was close to someone or what's going on, but he's been ruled out against the Clippers. Meanwhile, James Harden has been traded from the Rockets to the Nets. Victor Oladipo is now going to pair up in the backcourt with John Wall. It was an NBA trade deadline-like day in the association. And it all really started last night when Harden stepped up to the microphone after a game and basically detonated his whatever was left of his relationship with his teammates, led to John Wall and Boogie Cousins, among others, coming out and effectively saying this is not going to work. Particularly Boogie Cousins today at shoot around a couple hours before the trade when he said, yeah, the disrespect has just gotten out of control for our locker room. And he's no longer with the Houston Rockets. That will make for, I think generally the revenge game thing is overplayed. And I think typically when a player takes on their old team, it's way too much hype and it's talked about more than you'd think because those guys are tight and they go out to dinner together before those games or after those games or whatever. But I don't get the sense that he's liked by those guys at all. And I think they will use it as a rallying cry whenever they play him. If they're on the schedule in the near future, that could be a lot of fun to watch, actually.
Absolutely. I mean, the first time LeBron came back and played at Cleveland. So he delivered them to the finals a couple different times, leaves for Miami after the decision, and Cleveland was wretched. They had nobody. They were completely bereft of talent. They couldn't hang with Miami in the big three. That building was absolutely electric that night. And Cleveland had a chance to win the game, and then, of course, you know, Miami kind of took over. But I'll never forget that. Just a regular run-of-the-mill regular season game, right? I get the sense that might be the case if there are ever fans back in the stands. You know, when Brooklyn comes to town, the first time you can get, you know, 21,000 or however fit into that Toyota Center to start screaming at James Harden, you might see something similar.
6:30 tonight, Scott Jackson will be right here on 106.7 The Fan, so make sure you keep it right here. We're keeping you company until then. Right now on the docket, we've been discussing pending free agency for Washington, the players who are not under contract as of the start of the league year. And this is as good a spot as I can remember this organization being in terms of what they're potentially going to lose. Sheriff, I think there's mutual interest in keeping him. This is the only team he's ever played in. If they show him the money and give him the bag, he's going to take it, and they can back up the Brinks truck, and they now keep him as their right guard. It's going to take a ton of money at a position where you could try to be cheap if you want to. A lot of teams do that. I still remember, I talk about this a lot, but Mike Shanahan used to talk about how little guards meant to him, basically. I hate to say it that way, but like he just didn't care enough to invest big at that position. And so it was. It was guys like Corey Lichtensteiger, who was out of football the year Shanahan was, and then he goes and gets him. It's guys like Tyler Palumbis, who is a spare part extra lineman with the Seahawks, and he comes in here, next thing you know, he's a starting player on the offensive line for Mike Shanahan. I mean, those are the types of guys at guard he would just plug and play in his own blocking scheme. If you're not running a zone scheme, I guess it's a little bit different. But while I'm trying to recalibrate and reprogram my brain to say guards matter, guards matter. It's a big departure from Jay Gruden saying, I've had two first-round picks since I got here, and one's a guard and the other one's a receiver that can't get on the field. He doesn't like guards very much. Well, apparently,
not a fan.
Ron Rivera, if they're going to sign Brandon Scherff, must like guards. The other guy's Kerrigan, and that's more of a lifetime achievement. He's been here for so long, he's beloved kind of thing. But he was rushing the quarterback 10 or 12 times a game toward the end of the season. I mean, you can find a guy at the price you'd have to pay him to do that. He might be a little bit more efficient or effective. But if he wants to go start, then you're going to have to give him the chance to do that. And the only other guy, there are three key ones here, is Ronald Darby. And like Sheriff, he's a guy that I'm trying desperately to bring back at corner. It's just hard to get that position right. And when you compare the performances as a duo of Fuller and Darby to the other tandems around the league, statistically with PBUs and some other things, they stack up as well as anybody. Let's go to Matt in Stafford on line one, who wants to hop in on G&D. Matt, thanks for the call, pal. How you been?
Hey, been great. This team is in a nice spot. They can get some talent. They can recruit some talent. They're division champs. The way I see it with Kerrigan, if you can eat a bunch of dead money to get rid of a guy like Dwayne Haskins, then think of it the other way. Put up some money for this guy, Mr. Washington Football. Mike Shanahan's first ever pick. I was so proud of that pick. It really was a turning point for how they viewed some things. And Kerrigan, I would give him 2 years or a year, $10 million, or 2 years, $15 million. Do something to keep him. Can't let him go.
So here's the question about that, Danny.
Yeah.
Does Ryan Kerrigan want that? Honestly, what do you think? Do you think he wants Washington to come to him and say, hey, we'll keep you. Here's your
– and we'll overpay you a
little
bit.
Again. Here's your $12 million over the next 2 years. The role's the exact same. Does he want that? I don't think he would.
No. There's the pull of the fact that it's still here. He doesn't have to move and the whole nine yards. But, you know, what's most important? And listen, I always think of Adam Jones, who turned down his no-trade or used his no-trade clause to not accept the trade to a winner, saying, I don't have to justify it. I earned it. You could do whatever you want, but I'm just sort of guessing here, right?
Orioles? When was that?
Remember that? So it was a couple years ago where a trade was finalized. It was done. He could have gone to a contender, and he chose to stay on a 125-loss Oriole team. And they're like, what's your problem? And he's like, I don't have to explain myself to you. I didn't want to move.
What do you mean, what's my problem? My problem
whatever
is
it was, right?
I'm one of the better center fielders in the league for a few years, so I get to decide if you can trade me or not, and I'm deciding you can't trade me.
Yeah, I exercise my no-trade clause. So for Kerrigan, you know, you wouldn't think, hey, accept this lesser role. Here's some money. We're admitting we're overpaying you for nostalgia, which, by the way, I'm not in the business of doing, despite all the good feelings that Kerrigan has engendered, but just playing along with the scenario. I'll say, hey, here's a little bit more money than you probably would get, to be a part-time Peter. Rush, you know, play 25% of the snaps behind our two bookend kids here in Sweat and Chase Young, and, you know, go out on top with us and Ring of Fame and all that kind of stuff. If I'm him, I'm going, pound sand, I'm going to go get double-digit sacks rushing the passer every time for a contender, please and thank you. Right? That's what I would do. But I can understand if you can at least offer it and make him say no to you. Make him say, no, my priority is to go play over moving my family and that other kind of stuff. These are human beings, obviously.
I just naturally think there's a few automatic fits that jump out to me in terms of him going elsewhere. Like, he's got home, which is not particularly here. Now, the Colts have good pass rushers, but his home is near Indianapolis. So I don't know what the contract status is of DeNico Autry or Justin Houston are. But if you could go start for the Colts, that would have to be appealing to him. He's got ties now to California and spent some time out there. There are two former coaches here in Washington, in McVay and LaFleur, who know what that guy's all about. And no one who's been in this building would want anything other than to work with Ryan Kerrigan again because of what he brings to the table off the field. So you got to find a place where you could start, though, or else if you're going to be a backup, why leave, to your point? But I think that's what he wants. And Rivera kind of said as much to us when he was on the show on Monday.
That's right, yeah.
And this is what spun my opinion on this. And Ryan Kerrigan's supposed to join us a little later in the week, by the way, so we'll talk to him about this on Grant and Danny before the end of this, our first week in drive time. But the comment that Rivera made was, he said, yeah, he's talked about wanting to start, wanting to play more. And I took that as a, like, that's what he said to us, not that's what he said publicly, because he really hasn't publicly said those things. I think we've all assumed them, but I haven't heard him tell reporters that. And so I kind of thought Rivera was giving us a little nugget on maybe some of the discussions that they've had, him, Del Rio, Kerrigan, behind the scenes. I would just be surprised at this point if he's back. I'm not sure that it makes a lot of sense in either direction. Probably benefits the team more than the player, but I think both parties could probably go their separate ways and feel like it's a good amicable time to do that.
Yeah, it can be one of those no hard feelings things. Again, just the luck of the draw that it happens to be the year that you got the number two pick. Not only do you feel like you don't need a quarterback, but whatever, and you take this defensive end. In other years, it could have been a wide receiver, a corner, a QB, a million different things. Happened to be this defensive end, which sort of changed his trajectory. If Chase Young didn't exist, Kerrigan starts this year. Kerrigan gets his 9 or 10 sacks this year, and Kerrigan's back next year. I think it would be more of a no-brainer, but circumstances change.
We will start to map out and have a little show meeting on the air, so to speak. Try to figure out what we want to ask Jason Wright, the team president of the Washington football team, coming up next segment. If you've got a thought on that, what you want to hear us ask him when he's on the show tomorrow at 425, you can call us at 800-636-1067. Also, our final thoughts on the GM search, which is getting hot and heavy. We talked about
hiring for your small business. If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That earlier today as well. G&D on the Fan. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show and being a part of the broadcast with us. A couple of notes here before we get into our final item of the day. Just saw this come across the wire from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. The Falcons had a second interview today with Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. He then flew to New York to have dinner tonight with the Jets. Sources tell Rappaport and Tom Pelissero that he is expected to interview with all of the teams who have openings. Not sure who he's interviewed with and who he hasn't. But he will have dinner with the Jets. Then he will meet with the Eagles on Thursday, the Lions on Friday. Must be nice to be Arthur Smith, by the way.
He's being courted, and rightfully so.
His grandfather is one of the minority owners here in Washington. Fred Smith, who is the FedEx guy, who is one of the owners that is at odds with Dan Snyder. And, in fact, Arthur Smith began his career in Washington as a low-ranking, you know, quality-controlled tape labeler, whatever he was doing at that time. And he's gone on to become one of the most sought-after play callers and offensive coordinators in the game by dialing up Derrick Henry's number and turning Ryan Tannehill into a viable quarterbacking option over the last couple of years.
I mean, his offenses don't turn it over. They score points. They move the football. The reclamation project that is Ryan Tannehill, all under Arthur Smith. I mean, that's a name that should absolutely be mentioned. A guy that's not even 40 just yet. Just sort of looks the part at this point, right? Everybody wants to shine a new toy, the offensive, innovative guy. He's done that, and it's been with flying colors in Tennessee. AFC title game behind that offense. I know they got beat this past weekend, but he's put together a pretty good resume over a couple of years.
I don't think we talk enough about how coaching hires and who works and who doesn't oftentimes could be as much about fit and opportunity as quarterbacks. Like, we do have that conversation when it comes to QBs. You know, you and I have referenced Joe Flacco as an example. If Joe Flacco gets drafted by the Browns instead of the Ravens, and you flip him and like Brady Quinn or whatever, Does Quinn still fall on his face, or is he pretty good? Similarly with Flacco, is he still, you know, a quarterback who's playing in the playoffs and has a great decorated postseason resume, or is he out of the league within a handful of years? And I don't know that I have a firm answer for anyone on that. I do think it's not 100% why guys work or they don't, but I think Matt Ryan going to Atlanta at the time that he did made it easier for him to become a household name for 15 years. Just like I think a guy like Colt McCoy, if you look back at his career, had a lot of awful circumstances dealing with the terrible Browns teams, throwing to guys like Muhammad Massaquai as his number one wide receiver. You know, and he obviously got hurt a lot. But does that mean that if he got drafted to a great situation like Atlanta, that he would have been a 10-time Pro Bowler and a MVP and played in a Super Bowl like Ryan? No, probably not. I just think there's something to be said for situation and being dropped into an environment that allows you to succeed. And I think coaching can be that way. Like, Matt LaFleur is a great example of that. And it sounds like I'm about to take away from LaFleur, and that's not my goal. But when Matt LaFleur got hired by the Packers, I remember being thrilled for the guy. But I thought, and I was talking to a couple of my buddies who covered him in D.C., wow, I mean, this, I don't know if he's ready for this. This is quite a leap for him to go from L.A. offensive coordinator with McVay, where you do a lot of work behind the scenes, but you don't have to necessarily run a whole lot because Sean's there. So he left for one season and did his own thing in Tennessee as the play caller with a defensive-minded head coach in Vrabel. And now you're going to butt heads with Aaron Rodgers? I don't know if you're up for this. And you look at the two seasons he's had, and he's one of the winningest coaches ever to begin a career. Is that because Matt LaFleur is one of the greatest coaches that's ever lived? Or is it because Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback and the Packers are always good? I mean, it's not to take away from him. I think both things can be true. But situation is so much of it. And as I think about Arthur Smith, like, to go to Atlanta or the Jets or the Lions, man, I would think long and hard before I took, even if you get to pick first or second overall at some of these places, I would think long and hard before I took some of the jobs where no coach has left looking good for 15 years, basically.
Yeah, well two sides of it, right? Number one is, the example I always point to is Brian Billick, right, with Minnesota. Brian Billick's an offensive genius. Or maybe he had Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and Randall Cunningham, and Robert Smith, and the best offensive personnel in the sport when they set all those records. Offensive genius Brian Billick. Never had better, I think, than 14th, the 14th ranked offense in Baltimore. Couldn't get quarterback right. They won because of an incredible defense, a all-time caliber defense. 85 Bears, 2,000 Ravens, and maybe one of those Seahawks teams that ended up winning the damn Super Bowl. Those are the best defenses ever to play. Had nothing to do with Brian Billick's offensive acumen, but he was in the room when greatness was happening, so everybody thought, right? Look at Adam Gase. Everybody thinks Adam Gase is a genius because Peyton Manning decided what time everybody showed up, what plays they were running, how high they'd wear their socks, what temperature their tea was in the meeting rooms, and who was on snack duty. He did everything, but Adam Gase got credit for it, has gotten multiple jobs since then. The other side of that is we always talk about this with quarterbacks, right? Building the nest. Building the nest. If Ben Roethlisberger, a guy that sometimes was overweight and would get all the hammered up and do some inappropriate things, it seems like, in the offseason, riding motorcycles and all sorts of crud, had gone to a different team, he would have failed out of the league. Pittsburgh, wonderful culture, Hall of Famer now, Super Bowl type stuff. We think of these guys, these quarterbacks that get drafted as punchlines, right? You go back to the Tim Couches, the Achilles Smiths, the Jamarcus Russells, the David Carrs of the world, the Joey Harringtons. We laugh about how terrible they are. Ha ha, so funny. Well, they went to a terrible team and somehow turned out terrible. Weird how there's a correlation.
Well, and even the elite guys. You mentioned Big Ben. I always come back to this with him. And another example of this, I know that, you know, this his star has cooled a little bit in the last few weeks, but he's still a top three quarterback in the league, and that's Russell Wilson. So those guys, when they're drafted, Ben was a top 15 pick in that legendary 04 class where Rivers and Eli went 1-4 and got flopped for one another. But he was, I think, the 11th pick, if memory serves, by Pittsburgh that year, just outside of the top 10. But, like, people sleep because he's a multi-time Super Bowl champion, and you know him now as a guy who's throwing 500, 600 times a season. But if you go back to the beginning in, say, 2004, or in one of his first couple years, like when he won his first title and he's, quote-unquote, a winner, though, and, you know, he's a champion, like 2005 Ben, the year they won the title. He threw, pulling up the numbers right now, 17 touchdowns and 9 picks. They were 9-3 in the 12 games he started. completed low 60s% for like 2,300 yards in 12 games. It was Bettis left, Bettis right. whoever, I don't even know who their second back was at the time. Maybe Fast Willie Parker still, you know, left or right, or Rashard Mendenhall, who knows. But the point is, like, that was his first few years. And this is how it should be done, by the way. Then as he gets better, you take a little more and put it on his plate, a little more. Next thing you know, he's having a 30-touchdown season. He's having a 4,500-yard season where now the offense goes through him. Similarly with Russell Wilson. You know, people look at him and they go, how has he never won an MVP? He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Well, when that team was going 11-5 his rookie year, 13-3 his sophomore year, he's throwing for a little over 3,000 yards. You know, low 20s touchdowns. He had a 20-touchdown season in 16 games. That's Alex Smithian. There was another 21-touchdown season in there. Now, over the last several years, it's 34, 35, 31, 40. He led the league in touchdowns one year. And he's now become one of the best QBs in the league, as I mentioned. But he won a Super Bowl in 2013. In his second season in the NFL. That year, they went 13-3. He threw for 3,300 yards, and very solid 26 touchdowns and 9 picks, you know, which is kind of the Tannehillian, Cousins-in, like what you know, that type of Stafford-type quarterback.
Right.
It's just we don't think enough about like how these guys were built up. And similarly with coaches, if you can start in an environment where after 2 years you're not 2-14 and getting blown out, you can learn as you go. It's okay, like for that to happen, to be 8-8 or so, and next thing you know, you're the next great coach in the league because this culture has allowed for that.
Exactly right. So you think about the two guys you just mentioned; they're perfect case studies for this, right? With Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, etc. You spoon feed, they grow into something special. And then we just think of them as Hall of Famers. Well, think of the number of guys that could win in the NFL throwing for 20 touchdowns and 7 picks. Their team, Russell Wilson's team went 12-4 with him throwing for 20 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in this modern era of football. I'm not talking about in the 80s when that would have been all pro type stuff. This is now. That normally is, hey, your team probably went 6-10 and your offense wasn't very good. But no, it's just different, right? When you're on an excellent organization with an elite unit, which is what that defense was, you can have those sorts of things. You can allow those guys time to grow and prosper. The Justin Herberts of the world are more rare. I mean, even look at Josh Allen, for goodness sakes. His passing numbers through basically a season and a half were atrocious. Atrocious numbers. He buoyed that by running and being a freak of nature and still being a good offensive weapon. But just as a thrower, he was a disaster. Well, look at that guy now. 40 touchdown passes basically this year. Dot in the eye, just flicking it downfield like he's playing the game of quarters at the frat house. He's unbelievable. But he wasn't for a while, and there was patience, and there was guys were allowed to grow when more was put on their plate.
Which you can do if, you know, that player is not solely responsible for turning you around or there's enough help there.
Right.
That you know, like in the case of Allen, just as an example, Josh Allen taking the time it took for him to become what he did in Buffalo. Like, they made the playoffs last year. He was much better. He was pretty good. He wasn't what he is now. He wasn't great. But they were still improving because it was their defense. Not even necessarily their running game, but they made enough plays. He made enough plays with his feet. And there was a progression there naturally. Washington's trying to get to a point where they can be the type of organization where you can drop a quarterback into the fold and it doesn't overwhelm them. You know, it's not the deep end where they can't put their feet down. Because this operation, this city, this team has swallowed up the last several guys that they drafted at the top of the board. And if they want to draft one in the first round this year, whether that's Trey Lance or Mac Jones or Kyle Trask or anybody else, you're hoping that you're closer now culturally to being able to do that. And the person tasked with that, obviously, is Ron Rivera and whoever he names as his general manager. Speaking of which, earlier today, Nikki Javala was on the show with us from the Washington Post. And we asked Nikki Javala about some of the candidates that are coming forward and emerging. Martin Mayhew's a name, former Lions GM, that is being talked about as the next GM here in Washington. Ryan Cowden, who's now with the Titans, who worked with Ron Rivera in Carolina as well. But my question has been, why not Kyle Smith? What changed between us hearing that this was his audition, and seemingly it went really well, to now that you never hear his name brought up, and he's not even talked about by Rivera or the people in the building? And here's what she had to say when I asked, what about Smith? Didn't they do really well in free agency and in the draft this year with him running the department?
I think they had a really great offseason, and Kyle and the scouts deserve a bunch of credit for that, no doubt. But it all comes back to what does Ron want? And if you look at the way he's built his staff, he's brought over a lot of guys from Carolina. You know, having people he's worked with or already trust, that clearly is important to him. And I remember when him and Dan Snyder, you know, during Ron's introductory presser, they cited Kansas City and Seattle and New England as kind of that model where it's a collaboration with the GM and the head coach. Now, Kyle Smith, I agree. My personal opinion, which doesn't matter at all, I think he's incredibly qualified, and I absolutely think he deserves a shot at this. And I think, you know, if he's not kept here, then somebody else will instantly bring him on. But it's a matter of what Ron wants and who he feels comfortable with. And based on the folks he's looked at, it's either those he's worked with or those who have that GM title experience. I think that's kind of what he's aiming for, is somebody he feels comfortable with, I guess, which I hate saying that and insinuating that he doesn't feel comfortable with Kyle Smith, sorry. That's where this is headed. I mean, you know, I know there were some reports that, you know, it looks like Kyle Smith is not going to get the job. Well, the fact that they're interviewing outside candidates is a pretty good indication of that.
And I said this earlier, I think they probably would have to interview those candidates anyway, just because that's, you know, one of the league's rules for a GM, for a head coaching opening. I think that's part of the process, is that you've got to do a fairly thorough search. And the Rooney Rule, if nothing else, says you have to interview minority candidates, and there's a list of things you got to do before you just name a guy. So even if Kyle Smith was going to be the answer, they might have to do this. But that's certainly not the trend or the way this seems. Someone called in earlier today, and they said maybe we're overrating Kyle Smith a little bit. And I am open to that possibility, in the sense that there might be a Kyle Smith in a lot of front offices, like a guy who's come up in the scouting department. The difference, I'd say, this time around, though, is I don't know how many of those people got auditions for a year that seemed to be graded this favorably. Like, you tell me, Danny, when's the last time you remember this many draft picks and cheap free agent signings in the same season having this successful a campaign?
I mean, put me on the spot.
But
I probably
has it happened?
Honestly, no. Not at the top of my head, I wouldn't say. Maybe somebody could, after a bit of digging, could give you, you know, a good class that occurred. Maybe like the year 2000 when, you know, LeVar and Chris Samuels
maybe rolled
in.
Maybe this is a better way to do it that isn't as much.
But I know what you mean.
But give me a letter grade just for what you paid being almost nothing for these guys and what you got. Cornelius Lucas.
A.
Left tackle. Wes Schweitzer.
A.
Left guard. Ronald Darby.
A minus.
J.D. McKissick.
A.
Logan Thomas.
A.
You know, and there are other guys maybe that I'm not thinking of that they signed.
But there's a theme there.
That didn't help me. You know, I guess we should throw in Cody Latimer, who like got arrested and then released. You know,
the safety from Pittsburgh that was Sean Davis that was there for 7 seconds.
Sean Davis is a good one. So there's a couple.
It cost them nothing. It cost them nothing.
But yeah, you're not missing money. There's not dead cap that's costing you.
And so again, this is what's we're working back from this place where the first thing that's happening isn't Ron Rivera going, all right, look, we've done our assessments, okay, and then the guy that we love the most is Kyle Smith. I'm going to elevate him to GM. That hasn't happened. So because that hasn't happened, we're sort of looking around and going, okay, well, what gives? So we're looking for explanations. That's as good a one as any. The one that I come up with in terms of questions as to why this hasn't happened is maybe someone else was doing this job. Maybe somebody else was saying, no, Kyle, you're wrong about this player that we're going to draft, and I'm going to take this guy. Or I happen to think that Logan Thomas is better than you do, and it was somebody else who was responsible for it. Because it's a little bit murky as to who's doing what, I think I know what Kyle Smith was up to. But, you know, was it Ron Rivera who insisted on McKissick, or was it Scott Turner who said, no, you got to get me Logan Thomas? We don't know. And that's, I think, kind of the part that I maybe struggle with in terms of my question as to why this hasn't happened.
More on the GM search on the show tomorrow, and we can ask Jason Wright, the team president, about that and about, you know, how this is going to go down and what the timeline is. He's more on the business side of things, but he's obviously pretty plugged in at the facility out in Ashburn. He's going to be on the show tomorrow at 4:25. We'll also have Joe Beninati on. Who better on the first day of the Cap season than Joe B to break down the new buddy. Roster and the new coaching staff. So that'll be at 3 o'clock, so spread the word. Big thanks to Thom and Tom behind the scenes for their work, as always. Danny, it was fun, my friend. I know you never know what you're eating for dinner, but whatever it is, enjoy it.
I'm on my way upstairs in like 7 seconds. I have no clue what's up there. None. Imagine that.
For Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. Thanks so much for doing so. We're back at it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.